But until we get into that place of understanding what it is that is trying to stop you, it'll continually control you. We have to understand who we are. And the one that is inside of you is greater than everything else that is going on around you. Now I want you to look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you've been set free. Neighbor, if you don't know it, today you will. You've been set free. We are free. Because the Son has set us free. And we're free indeed. Now high five your neighbor. Now go and hug your neighbors. Get out of your seats. Go hug your neighbor. Take the napkins off of those donuts. I'm going to move quickly. But this is going to be a message on breaking the curses off of our life. Breaking the curses off of our life. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Don't rush to get to your chair. Listen to the podcast and you can get all this information for free and listen into it again. Are we recording? Well, I'd like to welcome those of you tuning into the podcast at the House of Manna. We are breaking the curses off your life, breaking the curses off your lineage, and breaking the curses of the iniquities of your forefather. And we are set free. And if you don't know that you're set free, by God, I believe that today, by listening by way of this podcast, the Holy Spirit is going to show you how free you really are. Father, I thank you right now as we turn this service over to you. Holy Spirit, have your way, not only in the podcast, but in this very hour, Lord. We thank you that what we declare and decree into the atmosphere, the very power of the living God goes forth to transform and renew the very mind and heart of your people. We thank you for it now, Father God, for the manifestation of your presence and your Spirit, O God, to go forth to break the very chains and the yokes off of the people in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. Those of you that are driving in your car and hearing and listening to this podcast, you should be shouting amen as well. Amen. Those of you that are listening and by way of your office into the podcast, you should be shouting amen, because you are set free. Your promotion comes from the Lord. And what God is doing, he's doing because he loves you. Your promotion is coming from the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever, that my old ways, my old man has passed away. But my newness, my new spirit, my new man, my new soul is now, Father God, in you. Amen. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it now. If we are now children of the Lord, we're not the children of the world. We're not children of the world like we used to be. Some of us have a hard time of distinguishing what that means. Sunday, Wednesdays, and whenever there's church gatherings is when I'm holy. But the other days I live like the spirit of this world. Look, don't get it twisted. I'm not trying to be a legalistic type of preacher. But if our life does not reflect the things of God, how are you going to reach out to a dying world and a world that's lost? See, because what happens is if the people from church don't see me, say it again. If the people from church don't see me, it's all right. I'm not trying to put you in all kinds of bondage, but I'm trying to tell you is that we have to understand who we are. And once we understand who we are and who's inside of us, then we have a better understanding of who is coming against us. And we want to start looking over at our brothers, our sisters, our elders, our ministers, our pastors. And we want to start looking at them because they're holy, right? No, they got enough holes in them as well, because we all got issues. But it's how we interact in the body of Christ that determines what God is going to do in our life through us. Amen? But we are not the children of this world bound to our previous nature. We are now new creatures in God. We must relinquish our will to the Lord so we can be delivered of the known and the unknown curses. We must relinquish our will to the Lord so we can be delivered of the known and unknown curses. We are made in His image. We are made to be kings and queens. 1 Peter 2:9 reads this wise. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who called you? He called you. Where did He call you from? Out of darkness. But why is it that it seems like that we continually go back into the dark? We always want to go back into something that you feel like, how are we going to get out of it? Why do we go back into something that He has brought us out of? And that light and the darkness, where God is, there is no darkness. Where God dwells, there is no darkness. If He's dwelling inside of you, no darkness can be there. Oh, see, I wish I had a folk in here that knew how to shout me down a little bit as I'm preaching, because sometimes when we start making decisions in our life, we base it upon a previous nature. We base it on things that we've learned or what we've seen done, and we have a learned behavior mentality that we do things that our fathers used to do. But those are the things that we have seen. But what about the things that are unseen? But yet we still do it. Oh, I'm trying to teach, but there's just something inside of me when I sense a demon present and that has been wreaking havoc on the people of God. I don't ask the devil to leave. I tell the devil where to go. You fill in the blanks. But see, there's too many things that are happening in the atmosphere that we are now submitting ourselves to. But if we don't understand the iniquities that are there, whether you've seen mama and dad do a certain thing in your life and you follow the patterns after them. Now, there's been study after study showing that children that have never even lived with their paternal parents do the same thing as their parents. The same mannerisms and same actions as their parents, but they never lived or even were with them. How is that so? It comes through the lineage. I know there's so many of those Bible scholars that sit in here right now are saying those are the generational curses. But Jesus broke them on the cross. Right? Because y'all preach that to yourself. Jesus did away with every generational curse. Amen. Preach yourself happy, right? Yeah, that's right. Why are you still dealing with it? Because what happens is the curses continue on for generation after generation. Some of them you know about, some of them you don't know. We can't turn back to the desires of our flesh. He's brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's broken the chains off of us. When He hung on that cross, those that are accursed be hung on a tree. Jesus was hung on a tree. He took on the curses. We all think that that's the curse of witchcraft. He took on the curse of sin. What you're dealing with in your life that continually gets manifest is the iniquity sometimes of your forefathers that have gone on undetected. And all of a sudden now it shows up in your lineage now. Maybe it skipped you, but it showed up in your children. And all of a sudden, you're looking at your kids like, why are you this way? I didn't act this way. But if you were to search your lineage. I was watching a movie last night, kind of brought my big fat Greek wedding. What is that? Number two. And have y'all seen the movie? Okay, so we know the first one is the dad says, give me any word. Give me any word and I'll show you the root. That it comes from Greek. Right? Remember that? Y'all know that, right? Give me any word and I'll show you the root. I'll show you the root. Windex. Heals all things. So in the second movie, he decides and he tells everybody that he is a direct descendant of Alexander the Great. So he searches it out. He sends it off and he's looking for his lineage. See, a lot of times we just think that what we're dealing with is what is in our life that we have to deal with. But it went on undetected and not dealt with in our forefathers. And we begin to deal with it now. Let me give you an example. Maybe you have never touched any type of drugs in your life, but all of a sudden now there's some taste for it that you want. Where did it come from? Maybe mom and dad didn't do it, but maybe grandpa did. Maybe grandma did. See, and it just shows up in a lineage. Maybe it skipped you, but it comes through your children. Now you start binding everything that you see, but you're dealing with the fruit and not the root. Too many times we begin to deal with the fruit and the root continues to bear. 1 Peter 2:9, if we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. Well, that's for sure. We're not of this world. But over the history of the church is beginning to look more like the world. There was an outreach that was done yesterday called Lifeline with Pastor John David and Bridging the Gap and many others that were supposed to have come together. I did not go. I stayed home with my wife and we enjoyed our time at the swimming pool. And we got to talking as we were relaxing. Since all these outreaches seem to always be just about the church. Wasn't there, but those that were there, would you agree that it was just church folk? Was it just church folk, right? So what's an outreach if you're not reaching out? But only the church show up. We have to change the way we approach things. We've got to think like the enemy thinks. And we've got to reach out and make a change. But we are a royal priesthood. If we're the royal priesthood, guess who is attacking us? Someone in authority comes against us to challenge our identity, our position, and our promise. Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We have to learn to walk after the Spirit of God and not after our flesh. We have to learn and understand what is our flesh. What is our learned behaviors? The patterns that we see. The things that we become accustomed to. When my dad used to barbecue, he used to barbecue his leg quarters, his chicken leg quarters, on the grill, and he would wrap it up in foil. When I grill, I just put it on the grill and just kind of toss around a little bit. But just the other day, for some reason, I wrapped it up in foil. Mom comes, she goes, what'd you do? I said, I just wrapped up in foil, just keep it juicy. She goes, that's how your dad used to do it. Oh, well, Pastor, you're just talking about barbecuing. You know, I do that too, just to keep it moist and keep everything, you know, all the juices in there. But some things we do that we've never seen happen. And it just kind of trickles through. Well, how about responses that you do to certain things in your life that all of a sudden you're responding like somebody else? And maybe a generation sees how you're responding and say, oh, Grandma Lily or Grandma so-and-so, or maybe Uncle so-and-so. Do you understand? There's something there that will connect you to a previous generation that you never met. You understand? Those are the iniquities. You're saying, well, not everything is iniquities. I'm talking about the learned behaviors of the things that are bad, not the things that are good. The full definition of iniquity is gross injustice, the wickedness. A wicked act or thing, sin. So these are the iniquities of our forefathers. The iniquities of our forefathers are the gross injustice that they have done, or a wicked thing that they have done. Now here's what the Bible says. Exodus 20, verse 5. Exodus 20, verse 5 says this. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Iniquities, the injustice, those that hate him. So what do you think the trick of the enemy is? To make you get embittered and angry towards God. And how would that take place in a loving Christian environment that is full of just zeal and fire for God? How would the enemy play with your emotions that way? Marriage? Family? What else? Job? Work? What else? I'm sorry? Money. That's a good one. What else? Children. Said that one with authority. Next one. Did you say marriage? I don't know. Did we hear marriage?
No, we didn't.
We didn't hear marriage?
We heard
it. Did we hear marriage? Marriage? How about covenant?
Covenant.
Oh, that's a good one, right? I said covenant. Starts messing with covenant. Starts messing with marriages. Starts messing with your job. Don't mess with my money. Are you dealing with the sins of your parents, your grandparents, great-grandparents? Are you dealing with things and curses in your life that you have no idea where it came from? Can't shake a certain issue, and it's a repetitive action that keeps coming, and then you wonder, I bind that thing, but it ain't going anywhere. It comes right back up, because we're always dealing with the fruit and never the root. Give me a word, and I'll show you the root. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. We have got to renew our minds and our heart to the very things of God. Romans 12:2. We have to renew our minds. Our hearts must be renewed. We must be transformed. What is transformed is to make a thorough and dramatic change in the form or appearance of, and even the character of. Did y'all get that? No, you didn't. Let me say it again. Transformed, to make a thorough or dramatic change in the form, appearance, or character of a thing. Dramatic. If I come in here with green hair on Wednesday, is that a subtle change? It's a dramatic change. Right? I said, well, Pastor, that's not your shade of color. That's just, you're just out there. Well, sometimes we make change, but we don't make a dramatic change. We don't make such a change that others can see that there is a change going on. We think that because we come into church and we read the word and we're walking through the things of God, but yet we're not putting into use into our life what is going to make a dramatic change in our life. If I just profess it, then everything's going to be okay. Well, I'm here to tell you that the enemy is going to continually challenge you. You're warring against the Spirit of God through rebellion when you don't make change in your heart and in your mind. You're rebelling against God, especially if you said yes to his will. Many times I hear people say, well, I don't want to do that thing. Do anything else but that. And that's the very thing that God is saying, I need you to do that. 1 John 4:4 reads this way. 1 John 4:4, you are God. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because great is he that is you than he that is in the world. The one that is in the world is trying to change your identity, trying to challenge your position and your promise. And one of the strongest and fiercest demons out there is a spirit that is called Queen Jezebel. Queen Jezebel. It's funny how when we begin to look at demonology, we begin to look at the spirits and we want to call every spirit that we know and call it out by name. But you have to understand that this spirit has a ranking. This ranking of royalship has authority. You don't mess with those particular spirits. These are the principalities. They have ruler and authority over the atmosphere. They release demons to go into your atmosphere and into your realm of the spirit to wreak havoc on you. Jezebel, and I talked about it on Wednesday, has many different traits, has many different ploys. Would do everything to challenge you, to challenge your children, and to get you to challenge God. This particular spirit works in a very dramatic way that will keep you bound based on your past history and relationships. This spirit will keep you so bound in things that you think are of God but have nothing to do with God, in a form of religious activities, but God is not in it. Will keep you so busy that you think that this is the thing that you should be doing and this isn't the perfect will of God for you. Get you tired. Get you frustrated. Get you to the point that you want to quit. And now you become enslaved to doing what you think is right as opposed to doing what is right that he wants you to do. His perfected will. Do you understand? So what I want to do today, in these next 30 minutes, I want to break some curses off of your life. I want to break the curses that continually come into your life that you don't even know that you're battling against. Sometimes in your marriage, you begin to see something as a pattern, but you don't understand where it's coming from. And it takes root into your marriage, or takes root into the covenant relationships that you're with. And then all of a sudden you see all kinds of division that takes place. And now the thoughts that into your mind is, I can do better if I wasn't by this person, or if I wasn't connected to this person, if I wasn't married to this person, I could do better by myself. So the enemy tries to attack covenant relationships. Now, what about your children? Can your children divorce you? They try, don't they? How do they try? Well, you know, you want to hang them on a tree, too. You know, sometimes you just, you get those veins popping up on your foreheads on the side. Because they just get you so angry at times. See, the perfect love casts out all fear. We don't fear our authority. We do what we want to do. You ain't the boss of me. You don't tell me how to live my life. Some of y'all are thinking about, yeah, you don't. Let me tell you that if you don't listen to the authority that God has placed in your life, you are coming under subjection to the very spirit that is rebellious towards God. And that is this spirit right here. The spirit of Jezebel. Are you ready to break these things off of you?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because if I do not properly tell you what's going to happen after I pray this very long, specific prayer, if you are not ready for this, the Bible says this, that the spirit will leave, but it will come back seven times worse, with seven other demons bigger and stronger. So you may be dealing with an issue of rebelliousness, and then you cast that out, but you haven't gotten to root where it came from. So then the next thing you find out is you're dealing now with rebellion, anger, and you're also dealing with the spirit of death, and you're dealing with the spirit of suicide, and you're dealing with the spirit of causing harm. It went from being rebellious to an act of trying to end someone's life. Do you see how it'll intensify? But we just think it was just rebellion. If you do not occupy your heart and your spirit with the word of God and his presence, then what will happen is this spirit will come in and wreak havoc in your life and wait for an opportune time. I want you, if you would, if you are willing to get rid of these curses in your life, I want you to stand to your feet. Those of you listening on the podcast, you need to know that if you're ready to be delivered from a certain spirit, then you submit yourself to the Lord. Lordship means he rules and directs your steps. If he is Lord, he is the one you submit to. If Jesus Christ is not Lord in your life, you may want to turn the podcast off. If he's not Lord in your life, though.